that are in love with someone else, or think you may be in love now, I have a questionnaire for you. Developed by the nonprofit organization Love is Respect, the following quiz attempts to uncover whether your relationship is safe, supportive, and healthy, or whether it's actually harmful to your well-being. So here are a few questions. After each, think about whether you would respond often, sometimes, or never. Are you ready? Okay. First, the person I am with is very supportive of the things I do and encourages me to try new things. Would your answer be often, sometimes, or never? The person I'm with likes to listen when I have something on my mind. He or she talks to me when they're unhappy about something in our relationship. They're willing to compromise. They understand that we have separate interests and can spend time apart. Or, my partner is mean or rude to my friends. My partner gets extremely jealous or possessive. My partner blames me for problems, puts me down, calls me names, or criticizes me. Now, these are just a few of the questions on the quiz, and there are about 10 more. And interestingly, if you noticed, none of those questions ask anything about the other person's appearance, hobbies, ethnicity, education, or other factors that we tend to scrutinize when determining our compatibility in a potential spouse or life partner. It's a quiz that focuses strictly on a person's behavior, nothing more, as a key determinant of the relationship's health and potential for success. For me, the questionnaire's point is clear. Loving relationships are, above anything else, about treating each other with mutual respect. They involve acting in ways that build trust and communication and encourage individual growth. They feel safe, they feel supportive, and they feel right for both individuals. Doesn't everybody deserve a relationship like that? Of course they do. That's why the ban on same-sex marriage in Georgia and roughly 19 other states is so ridiculous. The criteria for a healthy relationship and certainly a healthy marriage should boil down to being able to answer two simple questions. Can the two persons love and respect one another? And can they build a life together based on mutual trust and a commitment to communication and growth? Sexual orientation, while obviously important to the two persons who want to get married, should make no difference to anyone else. And unfortunately, it still does. We have folks like Gerald Harris, a Baptist preacher and editor of the newspaper The Christian Index, who doesn't understand the difference between love and hate. In Friday's editorial section of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Harris refers to the few and taken out of context biblical teachings to justify his attack on same-sex marriage. And he accuses people today of having what he calls individualized moral menus. When we have a whatever I'm feeling morality, Harris wrote in the paper, the individual becomes the authority over the government, over the laws of the land, the church, the Bible, and even God. Without some kind of moral compass, the tendency is toward anarchy. Harris believes, as still so many do, that same-sex relationships are immoral, and that the growing momentum among more states to legalize them is the moral undoing of our society. Well, thank goodness, not everyone thinks like Reverend Harris. Some of us believe that the baseline for determining what is right and wrong in our society shouldn't be religious dogma. Rather, we believe that the moral compass of a society should be guided by love, a love that's compassionate, that's inclusive, and has the aim of achieving the greatest good at its center. As Atlanta celebrates its 44th Pride this weekend, and as many of you join me this afternoon to march in the parade that celebrates the worth and dignity of all gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons, we can take part. We can take part in knowing that the moral compass in our country is getting a little more in alignment, thanks to love and to an inclusive understanding of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. As many of you know, the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this week refused to hear cases challenging circuit court rulings that same-sex marriage bans were unconstitutional. Following the court's decision, same-sex marriages became legal in North Carolina and in Idaho on Friday, bringing to the number of states that have marriage equality to almost 30. While there's still work to do, the signs are that more Americans seem to recognize that the current laws are unloving and unconstitutional. Gallup puts support for marriage equality at 55%, which is a 15-point increase from just 5 years ago. And according to a poll conducted by ABC News and the Washington Post, 77% of adults under the age of 30 now favor marriage equality. And 40% of Republicans now support marriage for gay and lesbian couples, while the number of Catholics supporting marriage has grown to 62%, according to the New York Times. Of course, we shouldn't be satisfied with these numbers. While things are thankfully changing for gays and lesbians seeking the right to marry, there is still a lot of work to do for all LGBT persons to create a society with love at the center and enables everyone to live with pride. For example, there is still much understanding needed in our society about bisexuality and the ongoing discrimination of bisexual persons. Many bisexual persons deal with the stigma that their romantic or sexual attraction to both men and women is just a phase, and that they will eventually make up their minds on whether they're really interested in one gender or the other. Of course, this black and white thinking about sexuality, that we must only be attracted to either men or women, but not both, is rooted in a culture that's more comfortable with labels and clear-cut boundaries. Bisexuality, on the other hand, invites us all to consider that one's sexuality and even gender expression is more likely experienced along a continuum. We can be more attracted to the opposite sex, for instance, but the possibility of same-sex attraction may also exist for us. Similarly, we still have a long way to go to ensure that transgender persons have full and equal rights in our society. Elizabeth's story about the Princess Boy, for example, raises the transgender topic of non-conforming gender behavior. How do we really feel when we see someone who doesn't neatly fall into our rigid male and female categories for dressing and behaving? Does it make us uncomfortable to see a man wearing makeup, clothing, and accessories that we assign to women? Or does it make us uncomfortable to see a woman who doesn't dress and behave like a lady? In a letter to Dear Abby this past week, a straight man from a certain southwestern state asked Abby's opinion on what she thought of him wearing light blue nail polish. And Abby responded, "I think that for an adult heterosexual male to wear light blue nail polish in public in the great state of Texas shows that he's not only a trendsetter, but that he also has a lot of guts." So, what are we to think of all these differences among us? Well, Atlanta's Pride invites us to celebrate them. We celebrate men who love men. We celebrate women who love celebrate persons who love both men and women. Pride encourages us to affirm persons who want to authentically live as the gender they believe they are, male, female, or someone who is both or neither. And perhaps most importantly, pride invites us to ask questions about ourselves. While pride may be focused on LGBT persons, I believe that pride offers all of us an opportunity to look within at who we are and where fear may be preventing us from truly creating a beloved community where everyone is welcome. May we go from here today encouraged by the gains we are making to fully enfranchise gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons in our country. And let's remain vigilant in examining our own prejudices and engage in conversation and education to help us move past our misconceptions. And as liberal religious persons, let's continue to stand on the side of love for all those persons in our society who still feel the weight of oppression and need our voices, our energy, and our commitment. May it be so. Amen. Please remain.